God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Proud. Everyone, praise the Lord. Now, I don't know what will happen while I'm talking. The rain might fall, but you are not afraid of the rain. You're not afraid of the sky. Whatever comes from the sky will be a blessing unto you. Father, we thank you and bless your name. Glorious day, great day. And we know you will bless everyone abundantly in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you will turn our hearts towards yourself. And whatever you have ever done, whatever you can do today, whatever you will ever do, here we are carriers of miracles. Shower your blessing upon everyone. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. We're talking about faith. We're talking about great faith. We're talking about growing faith. Faith, great faith, growing faith. Now, when we have faith in God, we don't say he can do this, but there's no but in our language. We don't say God can do this. We don't say, but even if he does not do it, he's still God. We don't say that. When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, they came out with faith. Look at the Red Sea before them. They didn't say, Egyptian army behind us. The Red Sea before us. God can open the Red Sea, but even if he does not open the Red Sea and we rush in and we perish, it's still God. That's not faith. Here is mountain, and they were going to the promised land, and God said, Moses, take that rod in your hand, strike the rock, water will come out for millions of people. Moses did not say, here is the rod, that is the mountain, I'm going to strike. And Moses did not say, even if he doesn't bring out water, even if he doesn't fulfill his word, even if he becomes a liar, he is still God. Never, never. Faith does not say, I believe, but even if it does not happen, he's still God. We don't say that. What we know is that God is a faithful God. It's a mighty God. And his faithfulness reaches unto heaven. We never put a doubt, a but, and even if not, we never put that on the word or the promise of God. What he has said, he will do. I pray for the sick. I say Christ is the very Son of God, our Redeemer. He took our sin, he took our sickness, he took our infirmity away. Now I'm going to pray, and I say, God, you'll back your word. But even if you don't back up your word, you're still God. No, he will back up his word. And he went out and preached everywhere. And God walking with them, with signs following. They never, never, never thought, I'll preach. Even if he doesn't save the people, he's still God. That makes him a liar. I'll pray. Even if he doesn't heal the sick, he's still God. That's unbelief. We're talking about the possibilities of faith, great faith, and growing faith. Look at faith. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Look at number two there. That's great faith. We're looking at Matthew chapter 15. Reading from verse 28. In verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee no shadow of doubt, no element of doubt, no iota of doubt. It says, woman, thou art of great faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her son, a daughter, was made whole from that very hour. You are made whole today. You are turned around today in Jesus' name. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm looking at verse 3. In Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is right, suitable, meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Your faith groweth exceedingly. And then it says, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. The faith grows exceedingly. There is faith, and that's at the level where people stay. Many people, all their lives, faith, go beyond, there is great faith. Go beyond that, there is growing faith and everything you need. No doubt, no unbelief, everything you need will be granted unto you. Amen. We're looking at three things here. Number one, preventing hardness of heart with faith as a foundation. When you build your Christian life on faith as the foundation, then hardness of heart will be prevented, will get away from you in Jesus' name. Why? Do I need the removal of the hardness of heart? Because hardness of heart actually is being hardened against God's program, God's project, God's promise, God's provision, and the divine prophecy. When somebody hardens his heart, it's like, as I was, so I want to be, and so I will ever be. No change, no transformation, no conversion, no new light, no new understanding, no new strength. As we were slaves in the land of Egypt, so are we now. We still have the slave mentality, and we want to remain, but God has promised he's going to turn everything around. No, I'm hardened, and I want to remain the way I am. Those people, because of their hardened heart and because of their unbelief, they never got to the promised land. The people that got there, the people that said yes to the Lord, are the people that throw away the hardness of heart, and they did not allow the hardness of heart to make them remain the way they were. Point number one, preventing hardness of heart with faith at the foundation. Number two is preserving holiness for heaven through faith in his faithfulness. You understand? God will never change. His nature of holiness will never change. His demand of holiness will never change. And his grace that is able to turn lives around and make us holy will never change. And suppose for a moment God will change. that he demanded holiness, and now he has changed. He doesn't demand holiness anymore to get to heaven. You know the meaning of that? That means that the Almighty God wasted the life of his only begotten Son. If everybody could enter heaven without holiness, Christ did not need to come. We just live the way we live. We turn over a new leaf and we do the best we can. Even though it does not match his holiness, he gets us to heaven. Why did Christ come? It's because we couldn't be holy by ourselves. We couldn't get to heaven by ourselves. That's why he sent the Lord Jesus here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If after the Son died on the cross, he shed his blood, he suffered, and now we discover holiness of heart is not possible. So Christ wasted all that suffering, all that pain, everything he went through, and now we can live lives the way we want. Holiness of heart is not demanded anymore. That means God has changed. He says, I am God, I change not. That means his standard, his demand has not changed. He still takes holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man, no one can see the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's why you came, so you can turn our lives around, so you can prepare us for heaven, so we preserve that holiness for heaven through faith in his faithfulness. Number three, we're looking at possessing humility and honesty in the fellowship of his family. Pride will take us away from God. Haughtiness will push us away from God. And being self-centeredness, I am who I am. Nobody can read the Bible to me. Nobody can instruct me the way to go. That pride brings a person down, takes a person away from the Lord. He has shown you, oh man, what is demanded, what God has commanded, that you will walk justly, you will love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Once that humility is not there, once honesty is not there in our lives, you can belong to any church in town. You can read the biggest Bible on earth, and you can sacrifice whatever. Once there's no humility and there's no honesty, we waste our lives. Why did we come? No change. You are like Nebuchadnezzar, proud. And Nebuchadnezzar said that he who exalts himself, the proud, he is able to abase. And we don't even have the knowledge of Nebuchadnezzar if we remain proud. Proud in our sin. Proud in our weakness. Proud in our ignorance. But it takes having humility and honesty. Possessing humility and honesty as we fellowship in the family of God. We're looking at number one. Number one, we're looking at preventing hardness of heart with faith at the foundation. It says, the Lord knoweth who are his, and let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And he tells us that is the foundation. Look at Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth. And then it says, you did that by thy great power, and stretch out arm. Look at this. And there is nothing too hard for thee. There is nothing too hard for thee. There is no heart of man that is so hard that God cannot soften. Nothing too hard for thee. There is no hardness in any heart, in any brain. There is no hardness in any personality that if we bring it to God, that God cannot soften, because there is nothing too hard for thee. In Genesis chapter 18, I'm reading from verse 14. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You need to answer that one. Your heart, like adamant stone, because that's the nature of man. It's a softened heart that goes on softly and gently. I've heard his word. It says judgment is coming. It says it's appointed unto man, every woman to die. And after this, the judgment, the people whose hearts will still be hard after hearing about the judgment at the commencement of eternity. And then it goes on, continues forever and ever, hardening heart. But you know, all you have to do, you never cry, you never have sorrow for sin, you never have regret for sin, and your heart is hardened. But there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And we who preach, preachers, pastors, reverends, bishops, we need to look at that. And we need to agree with God. There is nothing too hard for God, because he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And at times we confront people and we preach the word of God to them, and we say, this is the way, walk ye therein. And the fellow, look at what he does to his own heart, his own life. In Zechariah chapter 7, reading from verse 12. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. Not God. God did not make us hard. God did not give us an ideology, a set mind that will say no to him. How can you, as a father, want your child to say no to you, and you still punish him for saying no, when a heart is hardened against the word of God, judgment comes. It will not be right for God to harden your heart and punish you for that hardness. You are the one that make your heart hard. It says they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, the word, and the words which the Lord himself had spoken. When he sent his spirit, then he came and gave that. And because they hardened themselves, great wrath came upon them from the Lord. Now, how does the hardness of heart play out? Look at Mark. I'm reading from Mark chapter 10, verse 5. Mark chapter 10, we're reading from verse 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. Originally, at the beginning, God made them male and female. And it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make one help, I'll create a woman suitable and meat for him. And so, that's the reason why a man will leave his father and mother and come to his wife and be joined to his wife. And they two, not three, they two, not one man and two women, not one woman and two men, they two, one man, one woman, they'll be joined together for life until death do them part. But the children of Israel, as they went on, and they had a wife, each one, sometimes in the valley, sometimes on the mountain top, sometimes the woman will smile, other times she will frown. Sometimes the woman is good, other times she's not as good. And they started looking the other direction. And now they wanted to have a woman that will suit them. And they wanted to kick off, kick away the woman they had at home. Or if they didn't kick her away, they'll bring another one. So there can be competition between them. And if this one doesn't fit, the other one will fit. And when they discover that maybe even the two, there are times they still didn't appreciate what was going on, some people will bring the third one. And then Jesus told them that God, the Heavenly Father, he made them male and female. They said, well then, if you are saying that, why did Moses give us the liberty that she can go and get another one, divorce, get another one? So Jesus said, that was not of Moses. You know the pressure you put on him. You know how you wanted to club his head and get rid of him. That's why Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, he gave you this precept. The point is, that's why Christ came. He came to remove that hardness of heart. Let me explain to you now. Many churches like Deeper Life, many churches like charismatic churches, many churches like Bible-believing churches, not only us, Bible-believing churches, they stood for the word. And they stood for that word on repentance. Anybody coming through any gate, coming into the church, repent and believe ye the gospel. And when some people said, no, Pastor, this is my church forever and ever. As for repentance, I don't sign in for that. And when they became adamant, no repentance again, no faith again, no conversion again. Many of the ministers have done like Moses. Okay, you want to come in with your hardness of heart, you don't want repentance, okay, come in. And not you want me to sit down here, no opportunity, no service, no activity. No, I cannot be like that. I must have a name in the church, an assignment in the church. But you have not repented. Don't talk to me about that. I didn't come here to repent. Hardness of heart. So the ministers, they have to change, modify the word of God. Allow him to do what he wants to do is too much trouble. So I don't want hypertension. I want to remain a pastor. And I don't want any hypertension from any direction. Another one comes in and will say, and Jesus said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall not get into the kingdom of God. And we're hearing information. Look at that man, he says, a member of our church. Look at that woman, she says she's a member of our church. And we confront her righteousness. your life, being upright. Your life means straightforward. Pastor, whatever you have heard, you have not even heard enough. I did all that and I'm still going to do more. Are you going to check out from our church? No. Whatever you will do, whatever you preach, I am here, I am here. That's hardness of heart. We hear of restitution. That the life we have lived, we've gotten that and gotten that and gotten this. And then we preach restitution. And somebody sends a text message, faceless. They don't want to identify themselves. Pastor, I was in church today and I heard that fiery sermon, fiery message, restitution, restitution. Pastor, you know, since we don't know their name, they don't give their identity, they use a number we cannot trace. Pastor, you know, the house I live in, I built was stolen money. The certificate I hold in my hand, I cheated. And I got that side. What do you want me to do now? You want me to make restitution? I don't want you to make restitution. Christ wants you to make restitution. It's the word of Christ. And when Zacchaeus came, Zacchaeus said, half of my good I give to the poor. That's not enough, Zacchaeus. I know what you mean. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore them fourfold. Restitution. And the people there, restitution, restitution, we have heard, this is the way, this is the word of the Lord. The heart is hardened. The danger is the pastor knows them. But because of what his friends will say, what his family members will say, if we don't involve them, we modify the word of God for them. And so, as you modify the word for the hardness of their hearts, now you make the coming of Christ useless, in vain, because there's no transformation anymore. There's no righteousness anymore. There is no redemption, regeneration anymore. Everybody now just does whatever he wants to do, whatever she wants to do. Restitution, no way. Their hearts are hardened. And that creates a danger for the preacher, for the pastor, for the overseer. You understand? All those people in the wilderness, they paid for that hardness of heart, for the hardness of your heart. Moses wrote you this. How many of them got to the land of promise? No one. Even Moses almost missed it. What do we say today? The Lord now says in Revelation chapter 22, reading from verse 18, Revelation 22, reading from verse 18, we cannot do now what Moses did long, long ago. Christ has now come, and he doesn't give any permission, any license for hardness of heart, for us to modify the word of repentance, for us to modify the word of restitution, for us to modify the word of regeneration and the word of righteousness, that when we're born again, he saves us and he grants us righteousness with that salvation. And so if you're a preacher and you find hardness of heart, don't do that. How can you look at the Bible? Look at your counsel, your command, your pray, and the people still remain like that. What are you going to do? Some people, in their modification, they don't come out to announce, hey, everybody, repentance is no more necessary. They don't do that. They just cancel that word, repentance, from coming out of their mouths. They don't say, church, we're reviewing doctrine, no more restitution. No, they just close their mouth. They never mention that again. A man has preached now in this church 5 years. All those 5 years, he has not mentioned the word restitution. He has not explained that word restitution. He has not, he's just going on with religion. Religion without righteousness. Religion without the depth and the height of the word of God that brings change to every life. But look at it now. We don't have the liberty, we don't have the license of Moses anymore, because their hearts are hardened. We keep quiet or we modify. Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. For I, Christ, testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man, any pastor, any preacher, any bishop, any general superintendent, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues, the torments, the punishments that are written in this book. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, it tells us clearly, and if any man, any Christian worker, any Christian professional, any preaching pastor, any shepherd, any leader, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. They don't like righteousness, holiness, purity. I believe it. I accept it. I want to live by it, but they don't like it. And I want them to, you know, keep on loving me, respecting me, appreciating me, clapping for me. And if I keep on holiness, 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 their clapping will dwindle. So I want clapping more than heaven. I keep quiet. If anyone will take away from the words of this book, then you say God shall take away his part out of the book of life. What does it profit you? It's better not to be a pastor, better not to be a preacher. Before you became pastor, before you became preacher, before you became Christian worker, Christian singer, you were born again. Your name was in the book of life, and you're on your way to heaven. Now, it's a disservice unto you that you became a pastor, because now the challenge is the people have their hardness of heart, and you have to remove the word from the word of God, and then your name is removed out of the book of life. If you don't have the courage to preach the word as the Lord has given us, why don't you check out? Why don't you go to your overseer and say, I'm sorry, I don't have the courage. I don't have the stamina. I don't have the backbone to preach the word as it has been given unto me. And because of that, maybe I'll have the courage later. I want to check out now. And then go settle with God. Because if the hardness of heart of the people will make you stop preaching the word, and you are taken away. You cannot talk about marriage, one man, one wife, until death does part. You cannot talk to the people who say they are workers and they're living double standards. You know what, their husband at home, they live like this. And when the husband is not there, they live like the other side, and you know, and you can't talk. You muscle your mouth, and you cannot tell them marriage is honorable in all, but the whoremonger and the adulterer and the adulteress, God will judge. If I say that, There are too many that fit into that situation in our local church. It will give me unnecessary trouble. What's unnecessary trouble? You must endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. You must endure the pressure. You must endure everything they bring upon you if you're going to stand and you're going to lead people to heaven. No divorce and remarried. That's exactly what Jesus said in Mark. He said, Moses permitted you to do that. You cannot do that anymore. Pastor, the great givers in our church, they're the people who have divorced and remarried. If I talk about that, they will leave and their money will leave with them. But if you don't talk about it, you're a disappointment to heaven, a disappointment to Christ, a disappointment to the people who want to live straight. And so, you don't want the money bags to check out and go to another church, and you bring damnation upon yourself. Because it says that if you take away from the commandments, the precepts, the promises, the declaration of God, the Lord will take your name away from the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. I pray God will help us to come back so that in the church you have opportunity to preach, to listen to the scripture, to preach the main message, to encourage people. Don't forget the foundation before we can get to heaven. Repent and believe ye the gospel. Bring that back. Don't forget, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you or your hearers will in no wise get to the kingdom of God. Bring it back. Redemption. He will redeem Israel from all his sins. Bring it back. Faith. The faith, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Bring that back. Let's give the totality of the word of God, of the revelation of God unto the people of God, and let's prevent hardness of heart in our midst. I was waiting for amen. Amen. You know, sometimes if you're a real preacher called by God, and you say the word, when you say the word, you have to follow up on the word, because the people will test your conviction. You preach that way, that way, that way, and there are the people that are pregnant with hardness of heart inside them, and they come to show you the pregnancy of hard heart, hard stomach, and they carry it before you. And they are trying to say, did you see that? I heard what you preached in the morning, and now I come to show you the hardness of heart is still there. I hope you don't do that to me. If you do that to me, after one or two exhortations, I forget about that heretic, allow him to go where he wants to go, into a lost eternity. But I'll not say because you have decided to be pregnant with hard heart and you want to go the other direction, I'm not going to stop. If you are not saved, that person will get saved. That other fellow there will get saved. And before, I'm not going to allow you with your hard heart to then transfer the hard heart to everybody in my congregation. I'll still keep on preaching so that the people that have ears to hear, they will hear. Are they here today? Having ears to hear, are you there today? That's why I came. You are the one I came for. We're looking at Ezekiel chapter 11. And I'm reading from verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 11. We're looking at verse 19. And I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart, the hard heart, the stubborn heart, the rigid heart. I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh. And I will give them a heart, an heart of flesh. You need an amen. We're coming to point number two. Point number two, we're looking at preserving holiness for heaven. Then it says, through faith in his faithfulness. He is a faithful God. That's why we have faith in him. That's why we have confidence in him. When we talk of faith, we're talking about faith in a trustworthy God. Trustable God, in a God who gives a promise, who gives a condition, and he does not change. And we have that confidence in him. He has the power, he has the promise, he has the program, he has the preparation, he has everything we need to give us that holiness of heart. He knows actually that is the most important experience we need. About healing, good. But healing, if I get healed from the most terrible disease, but I keep on lying, I keep on in hypocrisy, I keep on stealing, I keep on committing that thing they commit, but I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, the healing will not take you to heaven. The healing gives you strength and power from the Lord, and you're using the strength and the power from the Lord to do evil, to oppose him, to contradict him, to sin against him. That healing does not take anyone to heaven. What takes us to heaven? The holiness of heart. He comes and he pardons and he purges and he purifies. That the reason why you personally, you preserve holiness for heaven through faith in his faithfulness. That's why, as a teacher of the word, a preacher of the word, if you're given chance, now come demonstrate. Preach healing. You only have one chance and one topic: healing or holiness. Which one do you choose? Okay, look up at me. Which one do you think I will choose? If on my last day on earth, the Lord tells me this, the last day, you're coming over. And you have chance, you're still strong enough, your voice is still okay. You have chance to preach just one message before you come over. Healing or deliverance or success or holiness. Which one do you think I'll preach? That's what you should do too. We should major on major things and minor. We should be kind of minor on minor things. That the word of holiness, the experience of holiness, will not die out of your mouth. Will not die in your local church. Will not die in your denomination. We must have it, experience it, and preserve it, because that is what takes us to heaven. You're talking to a backslider. And you know he's a backslider. He knows he's a backslider. You talk and talk and talk. And the man or the woman, even from her appearance, you can tell you were not like this before. What are you going to talk about? Answer. But you know, we talk about good things, talking about politics, we talk about weather, we talk about this, we talk about that. We're talking to her in a way so that she will know I'm a good man, I'm a good woman. No, you don't need to be good to her. Tell her, this life you're living, this way you are going, you know the truth. If you continue this one, die in this condition, this is hellfire. Ah, if I say that, she'll not like me. Which one is more important, for him to like you, for her to like you, or for her to get to hell forever and ever? Weigh your options. Look at what God does. He does it for you. He does it for me. He does it for everyone. He tells us in Acts chapter 15, reading there from verse 9. Acts chapter 15, verse 9. All those people that are collecting things over there, are you listening to the message? Is that one more important than hearing the word that prepares you for heaven? Look at Acts chapter 15, verse 9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. It's God that does it. He will do it for you. Psalm 24, I'm reading from verse 3. In Psalm 24, verse 3, the question is asked, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Not just any place, it's talking about heaven, the holy place. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, he that has clean hands. The word of God is still the word of God. The hands, looking at this and looking at that, and it's all pornography. The hand that is, I didn't do the real thing. I only fumbled with my fingers. Is that one holiness? I didn't, steal too much. I only took, 100,000. That's holiness. He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Those are the people going to heaven. Those are the people we're laboring on so that they will have clean hands in their office. They'll have clean hands when they are with men or women. They'll have clean hands when they live their private lives and a pure heart. And who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. It tells us in Leviticus chapter 20, I'm reading from verse 7. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. To be sanctified means to be holy. To be unholy means to be unsanctified. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. He delights in sanctification. He specializes in sanctification. He prioritizes the priority. He makes that holiness of heart sanctification. And we're looking at chapter 19, verse 2. In Leviticus chapter 19, reading from verse 2. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel. Moses, go talk to them. I promise I'm taking them to the land of promise. Tell them the proviso. Tell them the condition. And talk to all the congregation. The young people there, There's no double standard. The same standard for everyone. The women there tell them the same thing, and the men tell them the same thing. The rich in the congregation, the poor in the congregation, it's the same one standard condition that takes us to heaven. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. The Lord will do it. Look at Luke chapter 1. And I'm reading from verse 74. Luke chapter 1, verse 74. It tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 74, that he will grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Look at verse 75. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now, that word enemies delivered us from our enemies. I used to think somebody wants to take bread from my mouth. You see, that's an enemy. Somebody who wanted to take my job from me. He pulls a hindrance, a hurdle before me. I said, look at him, enemy. Now I understand. The person, the system that wants to put fear inside me so that I will not stand for God. I will not stand for righteousness. The one who wants to make me panic and put fear in me so that I will not be able to tell my conviction and say, ye must be born again. That fellow is a great enemy. Any system that wants to kind of put a hurdle before me that I will not speak holiness, I will not preach holiness, I will not live holiness. And then he says, come on now, I allow you to be a pastor, I allow you to be a motivational speaker, but don't talk about the way to heaven. It takes my calling away. It takes my kind of the cause that I have. Is there not a cause? And am I not supposed to bring people out of the world and lead them to heaven? Anyone, man or woman, anyone inside or outside that wants to, you know, stuff your mouth, muscle your mouth, and create fear in you that you will not speak the word the Lord has given you. Not the greatest enemy, but God will deliver us from all enemies. So that when you're delivered, heaven will know, because there'll be no fear in you anymore. You're delivered from the agent of Satan that will bring fear into your life, that will stop you from talking and from having and from demonstrating the holiness that takes us to heaven. Anyone in this church, coming from anywhere, we want to help, we want to help. And then in their helping, they're cutting us off from the root of holiness. They're cutting us off from the practice of holiness. I say, but you same, you said you came to help. Yes, I came, I'm still helping. But you are trying to silence us from preaching holiness. I'm trying to help, because you know those people of the world, they don't accept what you are saying, and I'm trying to signal you that they are not accepting holiness, so change. But do you know Revelation chapter 22, 18 and 19? Who said, I've not read that for some time now. Okay, let's read it together. It says, if I take away that word of holiness that Christ had given, that he died for, my name will be taken out of the book of life. What do you think? Are you still a friend? I know now. That's an enemy. The Lord will deliver you from them in Jesus' name. Amen. Say good amen. Amen. So that we serve the Lord our God without fear. Without fear. Why don't you do restitution? Fear. Why don't you confess? Fear. Why don't you turn and live and do? What needs be done? Fear. The Lord take fear in all its forms out of your life, out of your heart, in Jesus' name. So that now, without fear, in holiness, righteousness, before Him, all the days of your life. Another good, good amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 10. Hebrews chapter 12. We're looking at verse 10. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, it says, for they are parents, verily, for a few days they chastened us, they corrected us, they punished us for doing wrong after their own pleasure. But He, God in heaven, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. The reason why God speaks to us, deals with us, corrects us, chastises us, makes us sad, makes us unhappy, and makes us regret what we did, is so that with that sorrow, with that mind, we'll now become partakers of His holiness. Then in verse 14 it says, follow peace, follow the Prince of Peace. If you have the Prince of Peace in front of you and you're following after, you'll not be in any disagreement with anybody, fighting anybody privately or publicly. You'll not do anything to push him down, to push him up, because you are a man of peace or a woman of peace. You'll not do anything that will bring fear in his heart. But thank God, Christ is always with us, and he always cancels every fear out of our person, out of our personality, in Jesus' name. But you follow him, the Prince of Peace, with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Give me a good amen again. I always understand, if you're preparing people to get to heaven, you might have success, forget about that. Money, forget. Good buildings, forget that. But the number one thing you ought to have in mind, even if we have to worship under a tree, we have to worship in the open, under the rain. This is the number one calling you have, to prepare their hearts in holiness so they can get to heaven. And you yourself, you follow. You don't do anything in the private, that the woman you are with, pastor, holiness preacher, is that what you are preaching to us in the public? What a shame, woman leader. Look at what you are doing together. You are deeper, but I'm shallow. And you look at what you are doing, and you say that you believe in that church. You are deeper, and you are holy. But look at what we are doing together. Shame on such a person. The Lord will help you. Everyone will come out of those secret things in Jesus' name. We'll follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, it says, wherefore, we, as we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, transforming grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We're coming to number three here. Number three, we're talking about possessing the humility and honesty in the fellowship of his family. We possess that. When we come to the presence of the Lord, he gives us this great virtue of great value. And we possess that, and we hold on to that, and we go out into the world, and we allow our light to shine. Humility and honesty. In James chapter 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. You had grace at the foundational level. You come back to God because the challenges of the day are more than the challenges you faced when you came in. Now, he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You'll have more grace today. But you have to humble yourself in the presence of the Lord. All this, you know, standing before God and saying, look at who I am, my title, my position. And I think my title, my position gets me away from the demand of God. No, no, no. He wants us to be humble before him. He wants us to be meek and lowly before him. And it is that gives us more grace from the Lord. Look at verse 10 there. In verse 10, it tells us clearly. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Can you carry pride and bring to the presence of the Lord and everything we've heard about hardness of heart, about holiness for heaven, about humility and honesty? We'll forget about that and say, God, can I talk to you? And then we'll talk like we used to talk. He resists the proud. He doesn't crown you, such a person, as a member of the family of God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Are you still there? He shall lift you up. Look at Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk how? To walk how? Read it out aloud. You can hear me, let me hear you. To walk humbly with thy God. How the word of God makes us sober, makes us soft, makes us thoughtful. The way we, you know, jump here, jump there, activity. Busy life ministry. Busy, aggressive. Here, there, there. No. He wants us deep. Waters run quietly. That you're thoughtful in your heart. My life, my disposition, my thoughts, my activities, my thoughtfulness, my selflessness. And as you think, how should I walk? What does heaven say about my quality of life? To walk humbly with thy God. Amen. Amen. First Peter chapter 2. We're reading from verse 11. First Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, having your conversation, having your lifestyle, having your character honest among the Gentiles. Honest. Dealing with money, honest. Dealing with women, honest. Dealing with men, honest. Dealing with circumstances, problems, anywhere, whatever the project, honest. Is this how much this thing costs? Are you not making too much gain of me on this? Is this not fraudulent? Are you not trying to, you know, kind of exhaust everything I have so that you can fill up your bank account? Is this honest? He wants us as Christians. We're not thinking about money for us, about gain for us, about profit for us. You're doing it for the church. And it just says, go and buy that thing. And then you're fraudulent. You increase the amount of money. You come back. I got it, sir. I got it at a good price, sir. And you think the pastor will not check up. Okay, maybe he will not check up. But you're deep in fraud. You're deep in covetousness. You're deep in dishonesty. The question is, where will you spend eternity? But anything we do, everything we do, there is humility from the heart, there's honesty in everything we do. And it says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, they will glorify God in the day of visitation. The Lord be with you. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. The Lord take hardness of heart away from you. Amen. The Lord take haughtiness of spirit away from you. Amen. The Lord take the nature of Satan, that God could not even counsel him, control him. He had to be driven away from heaven, and is going to hell forever and ever. The Lord take the nature of Satan away from your heart in Jesus' name. The Lord give you holiness for heaven, that every day you live, whenever the call will come, whenever the rapture will take place, you will be holy in heart, holy in mind, holy in action, holy by the grace of God. Humility will be the control center of your life. Honesty will be visible in your life. Amen. Your amen is wonderful. Let the world hear. Rise up, and let us talk to the Lord in prayer. You want to tell God all that you have heard. You want it to sink in so that shall the trumpet sound anytime and the saints go marching in, you will be among the saints of God to inherit heaven in Jesus' name. We'll call a moderating overseer to please lead us in prayer.